This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Reception Perception, the show. James Coe and Matt Harmon.
I want to talk about Malik Nabers because I feel, Matt, the longer we get into this, you know, pre-draft process, people are so excited about Malik Nabers, which, don't get me wrong, I've it's not that I sit down and chart these guys or whatever, but I've seen a plenty of Malik Nabers, and I don't know, like, of course, I really like him. I'm not trying to disparage the guy. I think he's a great player. His start-stop ability is just, it's unbelievable. You know, he's going to be open a lot in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. But again, I feel like there's like some things that I'm missing here in regards to, okay, can he line up outside? You know, can he be a reliable outside deep threat? I know he was that at the collegiate level. But again, against, you know, NFL guys, too high, you know, cover two shells. Can he still do what he's doing at LSU at the pro level? I'm at least curious to see if he could do that. It's not like he can for sure do that. That's why I'm a little bit, I want to pick your brain in regards to Malik Nabers because, man, the hype around Malik Nabers right now is just red hot.
Yeah, and I mean, I said this too. He is one of the easiest prospects to like because you just turn on the film, you turn on the highlight reel. It's a riot, man. I mean, it's mm-hmm. crazy what he does. Like truly, field flipping plays. It's nuts. He is so explosive. He's like a walking explosive play. It's right. The epitome of an explosive play is Malik Nabers. So he's a really easy prospect to like. I'm with you, though, that like in terms of this top three, he stands out as a guy that's not that perimeter X receiver at all. Like I said, 50%, 50.3% of his sample snaps for reception perception were in the slot, near even in terms of on the line, off the line, 52 to 48%. So we don't see him necessarily just, line up as a pure number one perimeter X receiver. And there's definitely been some, like Brett Whitefield's done a great job talking about this from fantasy points about why some production from the slot is like not the same as, as it is when on the outside in the college level because of just how much quarters they play and stuff like that. Like, and it's just not some of those, you know, and I'm a guy that charts every single route, right? Like for these guys, for these players, I'll even tell you that like the amount of translatable plays that you're going to get from them, it's not all 460 snaps that I sample or 300 plus routes that I sample. Not all of these are going to look like NFL plays. Right. And there's a lot of that when you're that slot receiver. Like Josh Downs last year, I love Josh Downs, but he was still and his success rates were, you know, unbelievable. But he was still my wide receiver five last year. He was still a guy that was like a tier three or, I think tier three prospect for me because his ability, he's thumping on slot defenders, and I think he was a good man coverage, press coverage beater when you saw it, and he could win in tight coverage, but still, it's just, again, translatable plays, a little bit different here. With Malik Nabers, I do think there is some of that. He's just got, at times, these free releases and things like that that's just not real translatable plays. That being said, 74.4% success rate versus man coverage, very good number. When right. you see him go against press, we check him in at 72.1%. That's not in the same categories like what we talked about with Marvin Harrison, but it's not terrible. 72nd mm-hmm. percentile for him. He, sure. or, excuse me, 78th percentile for him. That's fine. It's not a big red flag to me. No. You know who I actually I think Malik Nabers really kind of compares to, and he's going to be right next to this guy in terms of my stacked prospect rankings.
Okay.
It's kind of like Garrett Wilson to me because I think that now a little bit different, like Garrett Wilson was way better against zone coverage than Malik Nabers was.
Okay.
And Garrett Wilson was like an outside receiver. But you right. know how I've always said that Garrett Wilson is kind of like what the Kadarius Toney bros wanted Kadarius Toney to be. In other words, yeah, he's okay. Kadarius Toney after the catch, but he can actually yeah. run routes. Like Malik Nabers is kind of like that too. He's that, oh my God, look at him, explosive play, unbelievable stuff after the catch. I mean, you look at his after catch data insane. And reception perception,
it's ridiculous.
In space on 13.9% of his routes, only brought down on first contact 48.7% of his sampled in space attempts. He broke multiple tackles on 20.5%, the highest among the last four classes. Actually, the only two guys that are close to him, Garrett Wilson and Kadarius Toney, at 19%. So he is one of the best after catch prospects of the last 4 years. In terms of his ability to break tackles and make big plays and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he can actually run real routes too, and that's why for me he's a tier one prospect.
I love what this guy can do in the short and intermediate area of the field. Can you talk to me a little bit about what he can do deep? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm not totally bought. Look, I know he's a super explosive player. I'm not trying to, you know, denigrate that at all. Dude, when this guy gets the ball in his hands and he's got any kind of space, he's making a house call. He's a threat to make a house call at any point, which is great. I love that. But again, I just, when I'm watching him just go straight up downfield, I'm not 100% sure I saw that dominant of a player. Short and intermediate, forget it. Good luck guarding this guy in the short and intermediate. Good luck. But downfield is kind of sort of where I'm saying, okay, there might be a little bit of room for improvement there. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right here because a couple of different things. Number one, like regardless of what the charting data says, and I do think that this is reflected in his success rate versus zone, which is significantly lower than
right.
Harrison and Odunze. There is no question to me that he is the in terms of technician, he's the rawest of these three guys. Not like not Quentin Johnston level raw technician, not like Treylon Burks level raw, like some okay. of these guys that I've been lower than consensus right. on the last right. couple of seasons.
Right. right.
But adjusting to incredible, like comparing this guy to this guy, this stuff I said I don't want to do necessarily, but when we're just looking at that, like there's no question to me he's the rawest technician. Like I said, he's really good against press coverage. He's pretty good against press coverage in a very mm-hmm. good range at 72.1%. That is still lower than the other two guys, really, because I think he's not like multifaceted in terms of the release moves that he has. And that does show up when he's working as a downfield player on the outside. There are times when I think like playing through contact in the routes, it can be a little difficult for him. I do think like working through the trash of zone coverage on deep routes, not intermediate routes, where I actually think he's really good on digs and stuff like that. Some of these post routes, corner routes, things like that. Even when he's working from the slot, I think he will get tangled up at times. Just like having a better understanding of leverage, that needs to be a part of Malik Nabers' game. But I mean, overall, yeah, I do. Look, we're nitpicking here in terms of his profile. We're nitpicking sure. in terms of him as a big play threat. But yeah, I think like stacking guys on the outside and then like working zone coverage down the field, like learning how to split those safeties, learning how to
yeah.
like when do I cross the face of this player versus when do I take this route deep. That's all part of like the things he still needs to, I think, learn a little bit.
Okay, so let me bring this up here because you just hinted at it a little bit. I was actually really surprised to see his zone score come out so low. Again, sub 80% success rate. That put him in the 46th percentile success rate versus zone, Matt. And again, for a player like this that, again, just absolutely destroys you in the short and intermediate area of the field, I was really surprised to see that zone score come out so low.
Yeah, I will say that this is a guy that's running a lot of downfield routes like we're talking about. I mean, it's actually kind of crazy when we're thinking about what he can do after the catch. And I think this is why people really love him, because he's able to do these things on not like Mickey Mouse routes. Like I said, the Kadarius Toney route tree, like that's not right. The route tree that Malik Nabers is running. It's pretty crazy that.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You just really don't see him on a lot of layup routes, right? Like, he's not being used really necessarily on slants. He's not really being used necessarily on screens. In fact, only 11.4% of his routes were slants, 3.2% flat routes, and 3.9% screens. Like, he's not getting a lot of these easy layup targets. So a lot of these routes that are zone coverage routes are downfield routes. It's actually kind of similar to the Ja'Marr Chase profile. He had a lower success rate versus zone, and Ja'Marr Chase was not, he didn't run as much against zone coverage. He ran a lot against man press coverage because he was just like a pure X receiver. But that is going to bring your zone scores down a little bit when you're a pure downfield route runner. So that's a big part of it. And it's not like it's disgustingly low. It's not like it's a red flag low. It is 78.6%, which for prospects is pretty low. But that was kind of one of the biggest reasons where I think he's going to end up being the third guy in this class for me. Just like I really appreciate refinement and all that stuff. And I think that Malik might be a guy that takes a little bit to be like, I don't know if he's a number one receiver, like right off the bus. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I had some of the same kind of like wild horse concerns about Garrett Wilson. He ended up being the third ranked receiver in that class. Still a tier one prospect. Like, I don't give a shit if you liked him wide receiver one in that class. I don't really give a shit if you like Malik Nabers number one in this class. That's kind of fine for me. Just when I'm breaking ties, that was a reason for me to put him three. But by the end of Garrett Wilson's rookie season, you know, I think I had Garrett Wilson as the top ranked guy because he was better than London and Olave, and maybe a Malik Nabers ends up doing that. But another comparison to throw out there, kind of like career arc wise,
okay,
is DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a player who obviously
I see that, and
a lot of people have made this comparison. So I wanted to dig into it from a reception perception standpoint.
Yeah,
when you look at Malik Nabers and DJ Moore, like pretty similar in terms of the way that they worked in college. And DJ Moore actually got way more layup routes, but good separator, had a really good reception perception profile in that 2018 class. He was really good against man coverage. He's really good against zone coverage. Actually a little bit better than Malik Nabers was against zone coverage, but in year one in the NFL, he just clearly wasn't there, right? Like from a route running standpoint, it was not there from him. So they had to kind of design routes for him. His overall success rates were really poor in his first season in reception perception. But
yeah,
I was like, yeah, I don't know if I care too much about this because he was a good separator in college. Like he was so explosive. Mm. So if he learns and he develops, like he'll get there. And he did learn and develop, and he got there.
Right.
He's one of those rare cases that's rocketed up like 10%, 10%, 10% in terms of his ability to beat man coverage, which isn't typical for prospects, for rookie and then second to third year players. And obviously then on into his career, he's only gotten better and better as DJ Moore. But like if you're trying to paint a slow burn type thing for Malik Nabers, DJ Moore would be that guy.
You know, I brought up some of DJ Moore's, you know, RP profile numbers here. In 2018, his rookie season, as Matt mentioned, 52.7% success rate versus man. Again, if you're new to success rate versus man, 52%, that's bad. That's not good. You want to be around, again, to be a good player, I think you want to be over 70%. To be a great player, you want to be over 75%, right? And for DJ Moore to be at 52% was troubling. But to Matt's point, that moved up about 9 points there his second season to 61.7%. And then his third year jumped up another 10 points to 71.9%. But Matt, I will bring this up though. He has been consistently good, consistently good against zone coverage. That's where, again, just because of where this man operates in Malik Nabers, I am a little bit concerned there about those zone scores.
Yeah, because like if you're going to be a primary slot receiver, you're going to want to beat coverage.
Have to.
It's part of the, we were just talking about somebody with this recently.
Jerry Judy.
Geez, Jerry Judy. I'm not comparing Malik Nabers to Jerry Judy. But yeah, we were talking about that with him. That
not even close.
He's been a slot guy and he really struggles beating zone coverages, where I think comes in. That was at times where I kind of thought like, hey, DJ Moore might end up being like a power slot receiver because he's so good at, against zone coverage and kind of the work in progress a little bit with the man coverage stuff. But when he got good at man coverage, he's been a really good man coverage beater. And I'm looking back at like DJ Moore's profile from a prospect standpoint.
Okay.
70.9% success rate versus man. That's good. It's not great. 81.7% against zone. Pretty good. Definitely better than Malik Nabers.
Right.
But when you look at like the routes too, actually it's pretty similar. Like incredibly high success rate on slants, high success rate on digs, 75% on digs, 80.5% on curls, but the downfield route running, 50% on posts.
Right.
Right around like average to slightly below average success rate on nines and corners. Malik Nabers actually better on nine routes than DJ Moore is. You know, incredibly high success rate on nine routes for Malik Nabers, and he ran them a pretty decent amount. So yeah, he is definitely a guy when you really look into it, it's like, there's some, I don't want to say, definitely not red flags or bad things, but there are some like threads that I think need to be pulled on with Malik Nabers. And I'm going to be so fascinated, like where he lands and
100%.
what that team wants to do with him. Because like,
how are they going to deploy this guy?
And, you know, if you're a team that is totally comfortable like using your number one receiver off the line and getting him kind of full speed motion, man, Malik Nabers would be super fun in that role. I would really like him to land in a spot where he can maybe not be the number one receiver right away. Maybe he can be kind of a second fiddle. I'm not sure what that team is. We're all trying to not get any of these receivers to go to the Giants. That's been the number one thing the Discord's been talking about the last few days. But I could see at the same time, if you're Brian Daboll, you just want like a walking explosive play. So I don't know. Malik Nabers, definitely a fascinating profile. Like I said, tier one prospect for me, no question about it, because it's a little similar to the Jamar Chase stuff where there were some things where you could kind of like raise an eyebrow at Jamar Chase in the profile, but just so good at everything, so well-rounded. I do think Malik Nabers is not as well-rounded as Jamar Chase, but does present so much explosive playability that he's still a tier one prospect to me, but he is, for me, is the third receiver in this class.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.